Good morning. At the same time as this, the first worship service of the year, it is the blessing of the new adults. At this time each year, we have the young people come up before us so that we may have some time to bless them and pray with them. First, I want to continue the discussion of the book of Habakkuk, as we began on the New Year's Day. This is the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Chapter 2 of the book of Habakkuk, verses 1 to 4. So let's read it from the first verse of Habakkuk 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Oops. I'm sorry, I forgot to turn on the mic. So we read the verses from Habakkuk 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to us, say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It will speak of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It is certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not right. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. And so we look at the annual verse, which is from John, chapter 15, verses 4 to 7. Wrong one. But in the Lord, I will dance and rejoice. In my Savior, I will be glad. You are my Lord, God, my strength. This is from Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19. In the New Year's Day service, we shared words about Habakkuk 1, which is a violent complaint against God before the confession and praise of the prophet Habakkuk. And today we want to consider the words of chapter 2. The words of chapter 2 are like a bridge between the vehement complaint of chapter 1 and the beautiful confession and praise of chapter 3. We have just read the opening of chapter 2, which begins with Habakkuk, who is undergoing a radical change from Habakkuk in chapter 1. He writes, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." And so here his attitude has changed to closing his mouth, which he had been selfishly protesting, and now he opens his eyes and opens his ears and listens. What does the Lord God make me see and hear? People seem to listen when they are giving everything they have in their hearts, but we cannot express everything in words or in our relationships with others. And so that is why we are so busy talking about ourselves rather than listening to others. But when we talk to God, even if it is a selfish talk like Habakkuk's appeal, when we reveal our innermost meanings to God, as Habakkuk did, though we are short of words, our hearts are refreshed as if a fresh wind blows inside our hearts. The Bible says this in Psalms, "Before the word is on my tongue, how, Lord, you know all about it." As written in the Bible, God already knows all our thoughts, all that is in our hearts that cannot be expressed in words. And because God knows everything about us and the craving in our heart that we cannot even know ourselves, even if we appeal with insufficient words, we can feel assured that, oh, he understands. He hears everything. So, when we pray to the true God, we are given a sense of security. In true prayer to the true God, we are given this security. I am sure you have experienced this thing many times, over and over again. And I suppose that Habakkuk's mindset in chapter 2, verse 1, is very similar to this. And Habakkuk receives a second divine response following the response of chapter 1. It says, there is a time for definition. There's a time of the end. There's a time that surely comes. Habakkuk in chapter 1 appeals to God in tears. Why? Why must Israel, God's people, be destroyed by the rabid and cruel Babylonian Empire? But God told him, judgment is upon you, sinful Israel, who are not conscious of your sins. And Israel's destruction will come, but the end will also come for the Babylonian Empire, which is the symbol of all the evil and sin in the world. And so God says, for any evil, there is destruction, and you must wait for it. Believers should believe, and thus they can wait for the judgment of God as a righteous government judgment. You can wait for that judgment. It will be a time of joy and salvation and praise for the manifestation of the righteous God for those who truly believe in that true God. For those who truly believe in God, the end of the world is not worth fearing, but wait for it because it will be the ultimate salvation, and you shall wait for it. So let's look at the verses in Habakkuk 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The his in verse 4 refers to Babylon of Chaldea. It refers to those who live in such a way that they do not make the true God their God, but rather make the fulfillment of their own desires their God and create ideas, thoughts, and social structures that derive from them. And they try to make themselves gods. This is vanity. And because of that vanity, they are destined for destruction. In the book of Revelation, the great Babylon comes forward. And the prophecies of a world filled with vanity, people filled with vanity, who do not have the one true God as their God, the revelation tells us of their eventual destruction. This is recorded in the Bible. And so this Babylonian empire is not an empire of the past. It is a statement about our world today. On the other hand, God finishes by saying, the righteous will live by their faith. As I mentioned in the New Year's service, in the New Testament books of Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous here are those who truly believe in the true God, and they wait for his work. But they do not fear, rather, they wait in hope for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he will return, knowing that all things will be finished and made new. They can wait because they have faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew Bible, the word emunah, which is translated here as faith, is a word that means to persist, to wait, to stand firm. It refers to the attitude and stance of maintaining an intimate relation with God without doubting his providence, without doubting his justice in any situation. Faith is the ability to stand and wait for the righteous God. And Habakkuk knows this, that the world will not continue as it is forever, that God will put an end to this history. He was taught by God that this is why we can wait. We can wait because we know the outcome. We do not just wait as if we grit our teeth and endure, but it is the hopeful waiting. This is what the people of God wait for, the righteous punishment of the evil and the kingdom of God. The waiting of believers is not the waiting of sitting around without thinking or without knowing what will happen, just waiting for time to pass. But the waiting of living today in peace as one knows who at the end. When Habakkuk received this response from God, this divine response, he said to himself, oh yes, God is righteous. He is righteous. It is right that God responds this way. God will show us that he is God in his own way, not in our time, not in the way we want him to be, but in his own way. So let us wait for that time. Let us put our hope in that time. Then we can live with him now and in him now. If he wants us to die, we may die. If he wants us to live, we will live. This is like the Apostle Paul's words, "For to live is Christ, and to die is Christ, and to die is good for those who believe in Christ." As we see in Romans 14, verse 8, and Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. This divine response, "But the righteous shall live by faith," or "the just shall live by faith," marked a watershed, a turning point in Habakkuk's life, the beginning of his new encounter with God. This was the fulcrum that enabled him to raise up his worldview and turn it over, and turn his historical perspective upside down. We know that there is no one who is righteous except God. But those who believe in Jesus are given the respect of the righteousness, not through their own worth, but through the grace of God. And so, if they walk with God, if they walk in Jesus Christ and live that way, then reality is turned upside down, their sin is forgiven, and they will be regarded as righteous and just through their faith in the true God of Jesus Christ. They receive God's response to their prayer. The righteous will still go their way, and even though the world has been turned upside down, the Christian can still go on his way. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is why we are to live that way. This is God's response to us, the same as to Habakkuk. With the words that will follow these verses, after verse 5, God reveals how evil the Babylon Empire, the symbol of the world, is. And he tells us how their end will be, and the nature of their evil deeds that they do not have the true God as their God will do. He shows how cruel, cold-hearted, self-centered, and greedy the Babylonians are, and that no matter how prosperous they are now, evil will not continue to have its way until the end, but is rushing toward destruction and will be destroyed, no matter how prosperous it is now. This is what he shows Habakkuk. And so Habakkuk comes to know more. And what is that? It is that God is in charge of history. God manages history. Habakkuk learns that history, all of its realities, proceeds according to God's plan and will end in the place where God's will is done. This is the conclusion that we see in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And in verse 20, "The Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him." These are verses that are often used in praise songs. "The Lord in his holy temple," and "the glory of the Lord covering the world as waters cover the sea." We may think that the powerful and the wealthy are in control of the world, but history, in all its realities, all its horrors, has led Habakkuk to the conviction that God's will is being done, and that things are progressing according to God's plan. And this is a blessing. According to the Bible, as bad as it may seem, history is still going where God has decided it will go. To our eyes, it may seem that history is being driven by the hands of the unrighteous, that the unjust are master. But God is the master and guide of our history. And we are made to live as fragments of the history. We are part of it. But all are in God's hands. If a whole big ship is moving to the east, but you are jumping on the deck toward the west, the ship is not moving toward the west. Everyone is moving toward the east. And so the Creator God, who made heaven, earth, and all things, is the one who is now, was in the past, and will come again in the time. Whether in the world outside the church or inside the church. Whether Christian or not, we must come to our senses and know very well that history is going where God has decided is to go. Even though we ourselves are thinking there is no God, history is still being governed by God, even at this very moment. The difference between those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God is the difference between seeing this fact and not seeing it, between being able to see it and being unable to see it. Those who know and live with the fact that the leader of history is God, that the leader of history is Jesus Christ, will not be shaken and entangled in the world, even though it is full of iniquity and spins in the wrong way. We live only in that way. We live only in the way of Jesus. If we only go on that way, unchanging, if we only live that way by faith, then, even if the world is turned upside down, we still have to live in the reality of today, and we do that by faith. This is the state of faith that Habakkuk arrived at in the very end. As I mentioned in the previous service, Habakkuk encountered the Lord God in a frustrating and painful reality where his faith was not understood. Where Christian theology, Christian doctrine, were not taken seriously at all, and where it seemed that his belief in God was not beneficial. To study theology, to live faith, to live according to the word of the Bible, is to stand between our clear faith that Jesus is the Christ and this real world where the faith, the Christian faith, seems not to work. We stand in between, we suffer, we wander, we search for the works of God that permeate the field of life and reality one by one. And so we live the process of coming to know the person of God. We come by living faith, by studying theology and living the word of the Bible, to know the person of God. And this is exactly what Habakkuk experienced. Habakkuk questioned God, "What on earth are you doing, God, when the world is going like this?" Habakkuk's question and his complaint to God eventually turned around and came straight back to him according to the will of God. God asks Habakkuk, "This is the way of the world, but which way will you live?" when the world seems to be turned upside down by the wicked, how do you propose to order your life? And God himself gave Habakkuk the answer, but the righteous will live by their faith. The righteous live by their faith. Even though the world has been turned upside down, Christians follow their path of faith in Jesus. And for Habakkuk, no matter how the world was turned upside down, no matter how incomprehensible the world turned out to be, and no matter how history moves forward, the basis for following the path of the Lord is now clear. Habakkuk's heart was now filled with the world, so that whatever the world may be, there is no proof that God is not there, but rather that God is steadily going about his work, no matter what the world may be like. Not only that, but he was encouraged by God that when the time is right, those who live by faith will surely know God. They will know God's work. They can wait in this knowledge, and nothing will be wasted in the waiting, so that we can live this day quietly and steadily in Christ. We are, as Habakkuk was, given this knowledge and challenge by God. I would like to conclude by reading the confession of Jeremiah, who may have been in the same frame of mind as Habakkuk, or perhaps even more so. Lamentations 3, verses 31 to 33. From verse 31 of Lamentations 3. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. So let us pray. Father, our eyes are blinded and clouded by the evil in the world, but what you have shown us, yourself, is to understand that through faith, though in the confusion of the world it is difficult to know you, we cry out to you. We wonder what you are up to. But if we believe that you will answer us fully with righteousness, we can live in your way, and that is what Habakkuk teaches us. The righteous person lives in faith in you. And in this declaration, we have the true Christianity. We have to live in this fearsome world. And at the beginning of the year, you are teaching us these things. Please help us to be righteous people who live in faith, that we make that our way of life, and that in our faith that in the Lord there is salvation, there is blessing. Let us remember these things and learn to live with you, that we may walk the walk with Jesus Christ. Please guide us in that way. And at that time, we will discover the treasures of that road. Please teach us to walk there. We give you thanks. And in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.